Hi, everybody. Welcome along to another episode of the Dispatches Podcast. My name is Brendan Malone. It is great to be back with you again. And today's topic of conversation, US pro-abortion activism sinks to new lows. Hi, my name is Brendan Malone, and you're listening to The Dispatches, the podcast that strives to cut through all the noise in order to challenge the popular narratives of the day with some good old-fashioned contrarian thinking. You might not always agree, but at least you'll be taking a deeper look at the world around you. Before we jump into today's topic of conversation, just two quick things. Number one, don't forget about the LAMP podcast. The LAMP is a brand new way for you to be able to support the work of LifeNet and also get a little something for yourself in return. The LAMP is a weekly audio podcast where in each episode we explore a different passage from the Christian scriptures. We take a deep dive and there's exegesis, there's reflection, there's all sorts of stuff going on in there. And here's the best bit. All you need to do to support LifeNet and get access to this weekly episode of the LAMP podcast is support LifeNet Ministry through our Patreon page with as little as $1 per month. That's right, that's all it takes, a dollar per month. Just $12 a year is all that it takes. Now, if you can afford more and you want to contribute more to our work, then we will greatly receive that kind of support as well. But if all you can spare is a dollar a month, every little bit helps the work that we're doing. And as I said, you'll get access to that episode of the LAMP podcast every single week. I will post a link in the show notes, or you can go to patreon.com/leftfootmedia and sign up with any amount, and you will get yourself access to that episode of The LAMP every single week. Last but not least, don't forget about my brand new Substack. I will post a link in the show notes today for that. It is called The Dispatches, and we're on Substack, and I try and produce written articles usually it's about every fortnight. I'm trying to aim every week, but it's not always possible to achieve that, but most of the time it's every fortnight. Plus, there is going to be some exclusive video content that will only be available on Substack that is coming soon. It's a really great platform, actually. And so this is only going to be available to people who actually are following me on Substack. It doesn't cost you anything to do that. Just go to the link that is in the show notes or search up The Dispatches on Substack and start following us. It really is that simple. Alrighty, let's get into today's topic of conversation. US pro-abortion activism sinks to new lows. So back in 2022, you'll remember the Dobbs v. Jackson Supreme Court case, which overturned Roe v. Wade, and also Planned Parenthood v. Casey, which was another court case in the Supreme Court in the early 90s. Didn't get as much coverage at the time, but both of those cases were overturned by the Dobbs v. Jackson ruling. It really was, as Simon O'Connor posted and found himself in a lot of hot water for, a good day. That really was a good thing that that law was overturned. However, one of the results of the overturning of Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey with the Dobbs v. Jackson Supreme Court ruling in 2022 is the fact that there has been an increase of, and also an increasingly extreme in nature, pro-abortion activism. This has consistently included stuff like egregious and absurd lies being told in all sorts of public forums. And not only that, but these blatant lies are commonly repeated by a mainstream media that seems more than willing to play the role of propaganda machine for the pro-abortion ideology. This is one area where consistently the media just doesn't seem to care that this is blatantly what they are doing. Like in other areas, often they might try and come up with a bit of an excuse, or they might try and, justify it away when they are not actually being balanced or accurate in their coverage, or when it's being very biased towards a particular ideological or political preference. And often what also happens in other areas is they might try from time to time to have a bit of balance, but when it comes to the abortion issue, they are all in, boots and all, pro-abortion, and they just don't care about the blatant nature of what they're doing. A really classic example of this was the case of Georgia woman Amber Thurman. You might remember this. I did a whole podcast episode about it correcting the record, but this was something in the lead up to the US election last year where the Democrats were peddling lies about Amber Thurman's case to try and overturn the election or overcome the possible, at that stage, potential election of Donald Trump. But here's the thing. Amber Thurman died when the abortion pills that she took, she was told to take them at home. She took them, went home and took them. And she took these abortion pills to abort her twins at 9 weeks. And the abortion pills failed to cause a complete abortion. As a result of this, she became septic. And this is a risk that is specifically stated on the abortion pill's official list of potential harms. So as a result of contracting one of the known harms of this abortion pill in this DIY abortion, Thurman got quite sick, and she waited and waited, and then finally she went to hospital, but doctors decided not to intervene immediately and not to remove, as soon as she got there, the infected fetal remains from her body via a D&C procedure, despite the fact that such a procedure is specifically permitted by state law in Georgia because both babies were already dead. But that didn't stop activists and media repeatedly lying and claiming that all D&C procedures have been outlawed in Georgia. That is simply untrue. It's an absolute and easily disprovable lie. But you see, what's going on here is that abortion activists and mainstream media allies wanted to promote the falsehood that a law which protects human lives from unjust killing, like the one in Georgia, one which specifically includes an explicit exemption for cases of miscarriage or where the unborn child is already dead, like was the case here, they want to claim that that law killed Amber Thurman. The truth is that she was killed by a well-known, well-established side effect of their very own abortion drugs. And she was killed as a result of engaging in a DIY state-sponsored backstreet abortion, which they are all for now. They promoted similar lies, by the way, when another lady, Candy Miller, died tragically after taking abortion pills that she had ordered online. As I said, these women are the tragic victims of the very DIY abortions that pro-abortion activists and politicians have legalized, have fought for, and now they are running cover for. Why? Because this is a very cheap and efficient way for the state to solve a problem and to save themselves some money. They just don't want to have to pay the welfare payments for children born into less than ideal economic situations or children born in difficult and challenging social situations. They just want a quick, lethal and efficient solution to that problem, and that's exactly what this is. And guess what? The cheaper the solution, the better. You don't need to set up clinics. You don't need to have anyone come and see a doctor face to face. You just ring a number or get online and they will send the stuff to you to do the abortion DIY at home in your own backyard or in your own house, literally. That is the reality of what this represents. And in fact, pro-abortion activists have now gone as far as to create a major underground network around the United States that's sole purpose is to push these abortion drugs into US states that have pro-life laws. This is where their real commitment lies. It's not to the woman in need, it's to abortion. And we'll talk more about that as we hear about this specific case. Because now what's happening in the US is a repugnantly evil example of this same sort of pro-abortion extremism is currently unfolding in a judicial battle between the state of New York and the state of Louisiana. Here are the facts of this recent case. In Louisiana, abortion has been illegal, with exceptions, since the 2022 Dobbs v. Jackson Supreme Court ruling. Recently, in Louisiana, a grand jury in West Baton Rouge indicted Dr. Margaret Carpenter of New York, along with an unnamed 39-year-old Louisiana mother. They are both now facing charges of criminal abortion with the use of abortifacient drugs, the two-stage mifepristol, mifepristone abortion pill. Now, the unnamed 39-year-old Louisiana woman in this case is actually a mother herself, and when her daughter became pregnant, she decided that she wanted her daughter to abort her unborn child, her unborn granddaughter. Now, according to the charges filed in this case, the unnamed pregnant girl actually, quote unquote, had a baby reveal party planned. So in other words, the pregnant mother in this case, the daughter of the woman facing criminal charges, that pregnant mother, her daughter, actually wanted to have the baby. But in April last year, her 39-year-old Louisiana mother went online and ordered the abortion drug mifepristone from Dr. Margaret Carpenter in New York. Dr. Carpenter did not even interview the intended recipient, the actual quote-unquote patient, who was going to be receiving and taking these abortion pills. That patient, by the way, was totally unaware that any of this was actually taking place. The abortion pills were then mailed to a post office in Port Allen, Louisiana, by Dr. Margaret Carpenter, or under her auspices. She's the one who prescribes it, obviously. And according to the case documents, quote unquote, the mother got the box of pills, gave it to her daughter, and told her to take them. The girl took the pills alone. After this, she experiences a quote-unquote medical emergency, and so she has to be taken to the hospital by ambulance. Yet again, yet another case of these abortion pills harming a woman. Now, thankfully, in this particular case, she did not die. She was able to be quote-unquote treated and stabilized while she was at the hospital. Sadly, her unborn child was killed. So what you have here, just so we're clear, a Louisiana woman secretly orders abortion pills online from a New York doctor and then allegedly coerces her daughter to take the abortion pills after they were posted to her by that New York doctor. Not once is the young pregnant mother, the actual patient, interviewed by the doctor who supplied these abortion drugs. And as a result of this, there is a medical emergency involving this young girl, which required her to go to hospital for life-saving intervention, and also her unborn child is killed. But this is only the factual outline of the case. Where it becomes really perverse, as if all of that wasn't diabolical enough, is in the subsequent actions of pro-abortion activists and politicians when responding to this particular case. So firstly, in spite of the fact that a teenage girl was coerced into an abortion, the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, immediately and falsely claimed that this legal case represented an attack on quote-unquote reproductive rights. Here's what she posted on Twitter. Louisiana is attempting to prosecute a New York doctor for providing reproductive health care. After Roe was overturned, I signed laws to protect patients and doctors from exactly this type of action. We will not comply with an extradition request. We will remain a safe harbor. She also posted a video online that falsely claimed that Dr. Margaret Carpenter has been indicted for, quote unquote, for simply providing a life-saving medication to induce an abortion, mifepristone, via telehealth in the state of Louisiana. This is exactly the scenario we envisaged could happen and why I signed into law very tough shield laws where I am proud to say I will never, under any circumstances, let me say that again, under any circumstances, turn this doctor over to the state of Louisiana. And I want to also say this. This is exactly what we feared. Republicans are fighting to have a national abortion ban that will deny reproductive freedom, not just in our state, but all across America. We must stand firm and fight this. On the 15th of February, She appeared on the Rachel Maddow show and she said the following.
I will never, ever send this person into harm's way to stand for 15 years of possible jail time for just being a doctor. And that's what our country's come to. This is the ripple effect of the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the stacking of the Supreme Court under the last of Trump administration. My mother's generation fought for these rights. My generation was able to take them for granted, and they're not there for my daughter's generation. My God, we've got to stand up and fight and let these women know. And I'm sorry for the sisters in these states where they're being repressed. But we should not allow government-mandated pregnancies. That's what happens when women don't have control of their own bodies. So we're always proud to stand up for women's rights here in the state of New York.
Did you hear what she said at the end there? Government-mandated pregnancies where these women have no control over their own bodies. All the while ignoring that in this case, you now have a type of government-mandated abortion where a young girl had no control over her own body. This is the true face of this type of pro-abortion ideology. They don't really have a strong focus on care for the woman involved in all of this. Their primary focus is the ideology and the promotion of ideological talking points, even to the point of deliberate deception and deliberately misleading the public in order to try and maintain and uphold the ideological lie within culture. Here's the video she posted on Tuesday, the 4th of February, in response to having received the request for this indictment to send this doctor from New York to face charges before the courts in Louisiana.
On Friday, a grand jury in Louisiana indicted a New York doctor for providing FDA-approved medication, abortion medication, through the mails. So I would do everything I can to protect this doctor and others who provide such care to American women wherever they live. And you know how they found this doctor? The doctor's name was on the prescription bottle. That's what they were looking for, to identify this individual. After today, that will no longer happen. I'm about to sign another bill into law, introduced by our sponsors, that'll further protect New York's brave providers. Going forward, when a doctor, a provider, prescribes an FDA-approved medications like mifepristone and misoprostol to terminate a pregnancy, they're going to simply have the name of the healthcare practice on the label rather than the name of the provider. These doctors who are out there on the front lines doing what they know is right, what they were trained to do, we must be there to support them. We must be their allies. We must be their army to protect them.
Now, do you see what's going on here in this particular public statement? It's not simply the fact that she is proudly boasting about using the law to protect a doctor who has helped to facilitate a coerced abortion, and the fact that she's willing to use the state to protect abortionists from prosecution for their aberrant behaviours. But now she's also taken it a step further. And what she said here is she said that they're going to now pass a new piece of legislation which hides the name of the prescribing doctor from the actual medications that are being prescribed. How does this help patient safety? Because the way she's speaking here, it sounds like this is going to be a law for all FDA-approved medications. So what you'll have is a situation in the state of New York where it's not going to be as easy for the actual patient, if they forget for whatever reason, to be clear about exactly who their prescribing doctor was. How does that help patient safety? How does that help with the area of medical accountability for doctors? It doesn't. And by the way, she talks about this like it's some shocking, nefarious thing. This has always been the way. The doctor has their name on the medication so that patients can actually see who the prescribing doctor was, and they can also go back and speak to that doctor, or maybe other doctors or other people who might be involved in the care of that person are aware of what's actually going on. This is in everybody's best interests. But all of a sudden, because it's abortion, they're going to start doing things to shield and hide and to keep from any sort of public accountability the people who are involved in these aberrant behaviours. And as she says here, she uses the language of war. She talks about marshalling the army to defend, not obviously the literal army, but the pro-abortion ideological army, to go to war against anyone who would actually seek accountability for doctors doing these aberrant kind of things. Now remember, this is a case where a young mother was coerced into taking abortion drugs that were secretly procured for this purpose to be used on her without Dr. Margaret Carpenter, the abortionist involved in this, even doing basic due diligence such as interviewing the actual pregnant mother. This isn't health care. This is no care. This doctor has failed to do the most basic and fundamental thing that any caring doctor would do: speak to and ascertain what's actually going on in the life of the patient who is seeking this particular pharmaceutical product. This is the most basic thing that caring medicine requires. So there's no care at all happening here. She's literally sending abortion drugs, pharmaceutical products, out in the mail without even ascertaining what the actual needs and situation really is of the person who will then take that particular, or in this case, be forced to take that particular pharmaceutical product. This is not healthcare. It is no care. And it's not just the governor of New York who's peddling outright lies. Pro-abortion activist Chastity Wilson, the executive director of Louisiana Abortion Fund, a pro-abortion activist organization, deliberately misled the public when she claimed, quote unquote, "We cannot continue to allow forced birth extremists," or what about forced abortion extremists, "to interfere with our ability to access necessary health care. Extremists hope this case will cause a chilling effect, further tying the hands of doctors who took an oath to care for their patients." Remember, in this case, the doctor didn't actually care for the patient. The doctor never even interviewed the patient who was actually the one taking this pharmaceutical product, this abortion pill. And not once did Chastity Wilson here in her statement even mentioned the mother in this case, nor the fact that her unborn baby, who was killed as a result of abortion coercion, was actually wanted by the young woman in this case. Now, in response to all of this vile misinformation and deception of the public, the Attorney General of Louisiana, Liz Murrell, has pushed back on these outright lies in an official statement where she declared that, quote unquote, "It is illegal to send abortion pills into the state, and it is illegal to coerce another into having an abortion. The allegations in this case have nothing to do with reproductive health care. This is about coercion. This is about forcing somebody to have an abortion who did not want one." But while the state of Louisiana is fighting for justice for the victims in this case, the state of New York is actively working to prevent justice and accountability for the perpetrators. So even though a judicial district court in Louisiana has issued arrest warrants for the woman who procured the abortion drug and Dr. Margaret Carpenter, this has now hit a major brick wall. Because, as you've heard already, Governor Kathy Hochul signed something called the Shield Law, a law which prevents the state of New York from cooperating with other states when it comes to prosecuting New York doctors who are involved in abortions. And as you heard earlier in her public statement about this specific case, Kathy Hochul has declared that under no circumstances will she actually do anything to ensure that this doctor is held accountable for her actions. And I think I should also point out at this point that this is not the first case involving Dr. Margaret Carpenter providing drugs for illegal abortions in other states. In December of last year, December 2024, the Attorney General of Texas launched a different civil lawsuit against Dr. Margaret Carpenter for allegedly sending abortion pills to a 20-year-old woman in Texas. He has also, as part of this particular legal action, requested a temporary injunction to try and prevent Dr. Margaret Carpenter from sending any more abortion pills into Texas. Ultimately, what this incident reveals about pro-abortion activists is four essential things. Number one, they are willing to deceive the general public. They are more than happy to deliberately mislead, to deliberately obfuscate the actual truth involved in these cases. Number two, their moral character is so deficient that they have no problem at all in publicly promoting these deliberate deceptions. It's one thing to believe bad ideas. It's another thing to go about deliberately deceiving people. It's a whole other thing altogether to stand up in front of cameras and on public platforms with a massive audience tuning in and to promote deliberate deception. Number three, they are willing to shield victimizers who enable and actively facilitate coerced abortions, because that's exactly what they're doing in this case. Number four, they don't actually care about protecting women. Their primary goal, as I've said earlier, is to protect the killing of unborn children and to maintain ideological supremacy, to maintain the ideological deception within culture at large. And if young mothers are victims of coerced abortions as a result of this, they simply don't care. Which brings me to another point, actually. They are willing to use the full force of the law to actively hide and prevent abortionists who help to facilitate forced abortions from being held accountable for their aberrant behaviors. Because that's exactly what's going on here now. They are doing everything in their power to hide the victimizers, to shield the victimizers, to protect them from being held accountable for the victimization of other people that they have helped to facilitate and participated in. Sadly, this is not new. We saw this in the case of Dr. Kermit Gosnell, where state authorities claimed that to have regular inspections from health authorities of a abortion clinic would actually be an impingement on the rights of women and freedom of choice. Meanwhile, in that same state, if you ran a salon, you had to have a minimum of 2 mandatory health inspections per year. But if you were running an abortion clinic, you weren't required to have even one. And is it any wonder that under such a regime, Dr. Kermit Gosnell was able to run a truly heinous abortion operation, which wasn't just carrying out extreme late-term abortions, and it wasn't just doing them in unsanitary conditions, and he wasn't just storing fetal remains in the fridge where people were also storing food that they would eat, and it wasn't just the fact that he also was involved in an illegal prescribing operation, which is how he got caught, by the way. They went in to do a raid, federal authorities, on a group of 5 doctors who were participating in a prescription scam, and he happened to be one of them. And while they were there, they discovered all of these other horrors in this house of horrors that he was running. He also is responsible for the death of at least 2 mothers. And on top of all of that, he was receiving awards for his services to women's reproductive health in the state while all of this was happening. This is the true face of the pro-abortion ideology. It is an ugly one, and despite its claims and protests to the contrary, it doesn't care about women. The primary thing that it cares about is maintaining the ideological lie and protecting abortion. All I can hope is that in this case, justice will be done. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, live by goodness, truth, and beauty, not by lies. And I'll see you next time on The Dispatches. The Dispatches podcast is a production of Left Foot Media. If you enjoyed this show, then please help us to ensure that more of this great content keeps getting made by becoming a patron of our work at patreon.com/leftfootmedia. Link in the show notes. Thanks for listening. See you next time on The Dispatches.